anybody can talk about wine. But what you're about to experience is a grape encounter.
Talk about amazing guests and heavy hitters. On this week's show, it's Sunset Magazine's editor-in-chief Kitty Morgan, Sunset's wine editor Sarah Schneider, and food television superstar Ted Allen of Chopped. You're going to love this edition of Grape Encounters Radio, so fill up your glass and pull your chair up to the table.
Grape Encounters Radio is brought to you by EpicStyle.com, featuring the world's most incredible selection of accessories and innovations for wine lovers. And now, it's time to experience wine in a totally different way with your host, David Wilson.
All right, even though I always tell you that I love my job, this is one of those days where I love my job just a little bit more, maybe a lot more, because I get to talk to the coolest people today. And this show is all about really amazing people that have to do with not just food, but wine, and have so much influence on what we think and what we drink. And we're going to start the show today with a grape encounter with Sarah Schneider, who is the wine editor of Sunset Magazine. Doesn't get any better than that. Sarah, I'm so happy to meet you.
Oh, thank you for having me here. It's really good to meet you, too.
Oh, my gosh. Are you having fun?
In between being stressed about what I have to do here today, and that train going by, I'm having a lot of fun.
Well, you're not at least tied down to the track, so that's the good thing.
That is true. That is true.
We are sitting at the Santa Margarita Ranch, which is in San Luis Obispo County, just about maybe 10, 12 miles from Paso Robles, south of Paso Robles, where there are thousands of people attending Sunset's signature wine event, which is Savor the Central Coast. Are you happy with the way it's going?
I am so happy. People have come out, even though it's kind of blistering heat here today. They're coming out, and it looks like they're having a great time.
The wine coolers are going over really well today.
They are, and there is ice flowing around on this ranch like you wouldn't believe.
I know. I have grabbed a few cubes now and again. And that train, actually, that you hear is the original train from Disneyland, the Santa Fe and Disneyland Railroad, and it's running all around the ranch. So couldn't be a better place to have an event like this.
Oh, it's gorgeous here. And it's days like this, even though it's a lot of work gearing up for it, is when we get out and we drink good wine with our readers and eat food, and it suddenly dawns, this is what it's all about. It's not about the deadlines back in the office.
Okay, so when you're standing at one of these booths and you're drinking wine with a reader, do they expect a lot from you? Do they want you to come off with a lot of wine metaphors and descriptions? Is there pressure there?
You know, that's not what readers want from me.
Well, I just wonder if there are people that are looking and going, you know, do you taste leather and tobacco and all that? Or are they okay with you just saying, wow, this is yummy?
I think they like it when I just say, wow, this is yummy. And I say that word a lot. I can't print it, really, but I say it a lot.
Why don't you just print it?
Once in a while, I can get away with that. But honestly, to string a bunch of descriptors together about wine, I do that sometimes. And I remember once when I printed the word leather in a wine note, and my brother called me. He had read it, and he said, leather? Really?
Well, I was with a few weeks back, Jean-Charles Boisset.
And, I know him.
And he, I'm sure you do. And he, we were in the Red Room.
And I've been there.
And he served up a wine that he said was paired with the room and its decor itself, and encouraged me to lick the curtains so that I would get a true understanding of the wine.
He's going to get in trouble one of these days.
I, of course, did not lick the curtains, okay? It might have been curtains for him, but it wasn't curtains for me. Anyway, tell me how things have changed when it comes to talking wine to the public and your readers, because wine has come on like there's no tomorrow. It's the most popular adult beverage in America now. Nobody would have ever dreamed that that would happen. Everybody's drinking it. The millennials are really who are into it, which means they don't care whether it's screw cap, boxed, whether it has a crazy label on it, whether it's a strange blend, an unknown varietal. They just want to have fun with it, right?
You are absolutely right. And it's been dawning on us at Sunset that this is the kind of drinker who is our reader. And I love this number. Sunset readers drink almost 12 million glasses of wine every week. And they want to know What's the newest, coolest thing? They don't want to know what clone it is necessarily from, although some are very serious, but they're exploring. They want to know what to put it with at a party. What would make wine fun in their life? And I'm telling you that the whole world is after these drinkers because we're one of the few growing drinking markets in the world. France is shrinking. Italy is shrinking. 2 years ago, we surpassed Italy in drinking market, and last year we surpassed France. So we are, by volume, the biggest drinking market in the world.
And it's not just California anymore. I was just over tasting Idaho wines, and I got to tell you something. I was stunned. I did not expect it. These really smoky Syrahs that you don't get in California. It was like, I went, I love this wine. And you find that all over the country. It's just that certain varietals grow in certain places. And if you expect for a Cabernet from California to taste the same as a Cabernet that was grown in the Finger Lakes, forget about it. You will not like the Finger Lakes Cab.
And now people aren't just interested in that Napa-style Cab. They're willing to go out and say, what are you doing in Idaho? And I have to say, going to Idaho, we follow developments in wine regions all the time. And I have this confession that when I first go to a region I haven't heard very much about, I kind of expect to have to work a little bit to really like the wines.
Yeah.
That was not the case when I went up to Idaho last year. I was just blown over by the talent on the ground.
And the range.
Yeah.
I had a Riesling that was just breathtaking. I had a Viognier that was stunning. I had Cab Syrah blends that were as good as anything we blend here in California.
Yeah.
I mean, really wonderful wines, but with very unique and special characteristics, unique to Idaho. It doesn't taste like anything I've had here.
No, it's
but
not that
really
profile.
Lovely.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to leave your expectations behind, and I think more people are willing to do that now.
Well, I think that's the fun thing about wine, and even I've been surprised at some of the boxed wines, for instance. Like, I'm such a romanticist when it comes to wine that I love the process of pulling the cork out. But I have to say, I've seen 50-50 screw caps and natural corks these days. It bugs me. But then when I have a glass of wine out of a box that's really outstanding,
right,
I go, okay. And then, I buy the box. I serve it out of a decanter, and I make sure nobody sees what I'm doing. Because I'm still a little...
How long will it take until you're willing to put the box on the table?
Well, it'll never happen. No, it might. You know what? I claim to be the most unpretentious wine person in radio. But there's still that romanticism that I love.
I hear you about the cork. But I have to admit that if I'm tasting 18 Sauvignon Blancs and I've pulled 5 corks and the next wine is a screw cap, I am so thankful for that wine. It's not going to give my second digit arthritis.
We're talking to Sarah Schneider. She's the wine editor for Sunset Magazine. Maybe the best job on planet Earth. Although I've got a pretty good job, I must say.
You have a good job, but I try to convince people that mine is really, really hard and sometimes not so fun, and I can't even convince myself.
Yeah, you keep telling them that. Let's talk a little bit about experimentation with wine and a subject that is something I'm so fond about talking about, which is blending your own wines. And I'm going to ask a few of our other guests later today about the same subject, because one of the things that I've been preaching for 3 or 4 years is that you bought the wine, you can do whatever you want with it, and it's okay if you want to put a splash of Merlot in your Cabernet because it's going to mellow it out just to the point where you like it just that much more, it's okay. And what we're seeing at even the big wineries is blending programs where people are coming in and blending to taste. I think this is the next trend in wine drinking.
I think you might be onto something there. It's interesting that where we are right here on the Central Coast, they, I think, are doing more than almost any other region in the country to put non-traditional blends together. They just finished tasting a 50% Syrah, 50% Zinfandel. And you ask the winemakers, and they just casually say, oh, we had two barrels left of that, and we had two barrels left of that, and we put them together to see what would happen. But I think that, I mean, if that's what they're doing in the winery, it's a little more, you know, more mind to the matter there. But why not at home? If you like Zinfandel and you like that peppery, jammy fruit, just splash a little bit into your Syrah and see what happens.
Have you done it?
I do occasionally. It tends to be when I've had a few glasses of wine at the end of a dinner party and those bottles are left and I'm just too curious. But
so
it seems sacrilegious. That winemaker made that wine and put all of that glass around three cups of beverage. It seems sacrilegious to change it up.
He made it to his palate.
Yes, he did.
Well, Sarah Schneider, what a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
To you.
It has been a pleasure.
We're gonna go from you. We're going to talk to Kitty, who is the editor-in-chief of Sunset Magazine, and get her feelings on wine. And then after that, it's going to be Ted Allen. I'm so pleased to meet you. You do such a great job. The magazine is the best in the biz.
And, oh, thanks so much.
And I really love it. And more Grape Encounters with David Wilson coming your way after this.
At Grape Encounters Radio, we're not impressed by people who drink expensive wine without us.
Lots of wineries talk about growing great grapes. This winery talks about growing great wines. Sarlos & Sons in Los Olivos, California, grows great wine, period. This family winemaking operation doesn't have a traditional mission statement. They have a family creed. Live to honor those that come before us and prepare the way for those yet to come. It's with this sense of pride that Sarlos & Sons grows great wine. Grapes grown in the shadow of the farmer ensures the highest quality of grapes are used in Sarlos & Sons wines. Check them out at sarlosandsons.com and also be sure to check out their once-in-a-lifetime wines. Sarlos & Sons is a dream coming true, and they can help make your dreams come true with their exclusive once-in-a-lifetime wines, which commemorate those unrepeatable, unforgettable moments in your life. Learn more about this and more at sarlosandsons.com. That's S-A-A-R-L-O-O-S and sons.com.
We are so fortunate on Grape Encounters Radio to have some incredible authors of books related to wine on the show. But there are two books that I really have a soft spot in my heart for. The first one is a book that just came out. It's called Yard Wine. It's a neighborly thing written by Nancy Roddy and Kathy Larson. Oh my gosh, if you want to know how to bring your neighborhood together using a bottle of wine and your front porch, then pick up a copy of Yard Wine. You'll find the link at grapeencounters.com. Now, another book that I've got a real soft spot for is Tom Silberkleid's California Directory of Fine Wineries. There is no better wine-related travel book than the California Directory of Fine Wineries. Absolutely spectacular photographs, great information. This book will make you salivate more than a great Cabernet Sauvignon. You'll find a link to Tom's book also on grapeencounters.com. Check out the reading material at grapeencounters.com. A great opportunity to stand with Kitty Morgan, who is the editor-in-chief of Sunset Magazine, one of our personal favorite magazines, on Grape Encounters Radio. And we're here at Savor the Central Coast.
Yes.
I want to ask you about content and how it's changing in Sunset Magazine, because if there's one thing we know, especially when it comes to wine, it's that the body of wine drinkers is changing. We've got this huge growth in the millennials drinking wine, younger people drinking wine. The pretentiousness is basically gone.
Oh, absolutely.
How, as a magazine, do you react to that?
Well, we have a fabulous wine writer, Sarah Schneider, and who keeps up with all the trends. We do research, too. We know that women love to drink wine. And our magazine, 70% of our audience is women.
Isn't that a funny thing? Because the assumption often is that it's the men drinking the wine, the big reds, the Cabernets, the Syrahs, that sort of thing. But it really is the women. And even the big wines are being consumed by the women.
Absolutely. And actually what's interesting is it's not necessarily wine and food. It's wine as me time. Wine as, this is the time I can relax, I can be with my friends. It's just a different kind of thinking about the wine. So we in at the magazine have been changing up how we're thinking about wine itself, not simply with food, which is always going to be the main event, but also how do people drink wine in their off hours?
I think that's brilliant because so many times a winemaker will say, this is a great food wine. And I say, that's good because it's going to be my meal tonight.
Right.
And
right.
People really do that.
Absolutely.
You know, they're calorie conscious or whatever. They know there's 500 or 550 calories to a bottle. And they'll sit down and spend from what? The time they get off work until the time they go to bed, just sipping a nice bottle of wine.
Well, and they don't necessarily want to think about, I have to match this particular wine with a particular food or recipe. We have done so much of that in the magazine, but we're really looking at how to simplify that process because people don't have the time to think that way, and you don't want them to be intimidated and feel they have to match a wine with a food.
Plus, don't you think that pairing is going very far out of the box right now?
Yes.
And that most of the rules are actually being broken?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, because it's a funny thing, like when you walk into a restaurant, they'll hand you the wine list. And I would say most of the time, you got a group of four or six people there.
Mm-hmm.
The wine is ordered before there's consensus on what's going to be consumed at the table.
Right.
I think the wine drives the food, not the other way around.
Well, I'm always at a restaurant asking what's interesting on the menu. What should I try? What's a different a grape that it might not have tried? And I think there's a lot more interest in the wines themselves and less worry about how to match it up.
Now, you bring up a really interesting point, which is that there are all these very interesting grapes
yes.
out there now.
Yes.
Like, it's so great to see Malbecs
yes.
becoming so popular. And Prosecco's being consumed instead of champagne.
All those Southern Italian grapes.
Oh, my God.
Alnico from Sicily.
And they're growing them here in California, too,
yes,
now.
I love it.
What's the most exciting grape to you?
Oh, the most exciting
new grape.
It
doesn't mean new, but new to your readers. Let's put it to you that way.
Oh, gosh. I think, actually, real revived interest in Chenin Blanc.
Was sort of the cheap bulk wine at one point in time.
Well, and you know, growing up in California, you think, yeah, that's that thing in the.
Well, I always tell the story that Chenin Blanc was, you know, came from a stuffy French family, and came to California, was known as Chardonnay.
Yes.
But she was not well accepted in Northern California, where people were loose and free, and it was, you know, peace, love, and dove. And so she changed her name to Chablis.
Right. Right.
You know, it was kind of almost like a stripper name.
Well, it's one of those things when you think you know what a wine is and you taste it when it's done beautifully and you go,
yeah.
Wow, an old friend come back in some other new clothing.
Yeah, it worked. And, you know, but I think it got its confidence up and then came back as Chardonnay. But it's interesting what's happened in the Chardonnay world.
Oh, yes.
And how we've gotten rid of a lot of the oak and are starting to make the wine correctly.
Right. It should be, you know, respecting the fruit and what it should be in the first place.
All right. What's the most fun thing you've ever done with the wine?
Oh, I don't know if I can.
Can you
say
tell
that
me that
radio.
On the radio? Really?
Most fun thing I've ever done with wine. You know, it's all about where you take it, you know, and where you're having it. You know what? It's probably in cooking. You know, it's when you're drinking that wine and you just dump it into whatever you're cooking and you see what happens. I think that's the most fun you can have with wine.
I love it. I love it. Hey, it's been so nice talking to you. What a privilege.
Thank you, David.
And thank you for a great event. This is, you know, probably one of the best wine events in the country.
Please enjoy yourself.
Maybe it is the best wine event in the country.
Well, I think you're the one who could say that if you wish to say that.
I'm very close to saying it. I just need to drink more wine and eat more food. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
A meal without wine is like a day without sunshine. Except on a day without sunshine, you can still enjoy wine. A little food for thought, compliments of Grape Encounters Radio.
Grape Encounters is brought to you by EpicStyle.com. If you are living the wine lifestyle, drinking wine all the time, then you need to go to EpicStyle.com because they have the best selection of wine-related paraphernalia on planet Earth. Grape Encounters will return in just a moment.
Don't throw out the wine with the bathwater. You're listening to Grape Encounters Radio.
Tired of being caught unprepared? Want to be a good scout? That's what we thought. With Napkin by JNC Enterprises, you can be Johnny on the spot and be prepared for unexpected messes. The Napkin is one very clever product. These little beauties are barely the size of a small breath mint, but they come to life as a durable, convenient, and sturdy hand towel with just a few drops of water. You'll want to keep a supply of napkins everywhere you would keep a hand towel, paper towel, wash rag, or moist towelette. Napkin is all of these things in one very compact little tablet. Use it to wipe greasy hands, remove makeup, and even to entertain dinner guests. You never know when Napkin will come in handy. Get Napkin at NapkinJNC.com. It's completely eco-friendly and made of 100% recycled paper. Clean your environment and keep the environment clean with Napkin from NapkinJNC.com.
One of these days, I'm going to get in trouble for picking on pretentious people. Who knows, you know, I may go home one night, pull back the covers, and find a turned-up nose in my bed. Look, if you're a wine lover who really is put off by pretentiousness, if you want to discover more ways to have fun with fermented fruit, if you're always looking for new wine-related adventures and discoveries, then check out GrapeEncounters.com. GrapeEncounters.com has a huge library of audio adventures covering topics you're just not going to hear anyplace else. It's fun, fascinating, and it's free. Hey, there's something funny about this wine. So join us at the corner of fermented and demented. It's GrapeEncounters.com. Come on, give us a taste. When it comes to wine, it's the most fun that you can have without turning your feet purple. GrapeEncounters.com.
I'm praying for rain in California so the grapes can grow and they can make more wine. And I'm a-sittin' in a honky in Chicago with a broken heart and a woman on my mind.
And we're back with Grape Encounters Radio, and it is a huge, and I mean huge pleasure, to talk to somebody who, when it comes to food shows, is one of my idols. Not just food shows. Queer Eye was one of my favorite shows of all time. It's Ted Allen, and I'm sitting down in the shade with Ted. And you just got into town.
Just rolled in. Spent a nice evening at Dolphin Bay Resort. Had some beautiful food. Actually had some really nice wine. I was introduced to a lovely Barbera and had a nice steak. And I just wish I could stay out here for a few weeks or perhaps live here.
Well, that's always doable. Let's talk about when you go to a restaurant. Are you particular?
Absolutely.
Are you?
Yeah.
What about at home? Do you eat fancy at home, or is it simple?
Yeah, more often than not, simple. But I'm particular about simple. You know, it's I
like that, particular about simple.
I sort of skew kind of Italian Mediterranean in terms of a lot of the cooking that I do, which is generally predicated on the idea of simple but great ingredients, the best ingredients.
Do you think it's interesting? For instance, when we watch Chopped, that there aren't a lot of ingredients that are used to make a particular dish. And it really is, I think, a case of chefs sometimes overcomplicating things with too many ingredients.
You are so right. I went to a restaurant the other day, a new restaurant in Brooklyn, where I live, that is trying to do very ambitious and pretty expensive food. And they got almost everything right. But the one mistake and we were there on opening night, so, you know, they're still working out the kinks, but they did a great job. But the one thing about it that all of us agreed upon was that A, it's expensive, and B, several of the dishes just had too much going on. And we say this on Chopped all the time, edit, you know? There was a foie gras dish, which is not allowed in California.
You can't even say that word on my
show. It's illegal.
You know that, right?
I will be arrested.
All right.
It would have been sublime if half of the plate had been sawed off and left in the kitchen.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about wine for a second.
Sure.
You worked for Mondavi.
For five years. And a great pleasure it was.
And one of the things that I have been preaching for about the last 3 or 4 years when it comes to wine is that we ought to be doing with wine what we do with food, which is to play with it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we used to be very, very stodgy when it came to wine. And especially in the state of California, there wasn't a lot of blending that was going on, say, 10, 15 years ago. Now it's all about blending. And the big wineries are even offering blending programs. What do you feel about people playing with their wine at home, doing their own blending and having a little fun?
Well, actually, that's news to me, that people are being encouraged to blend wines together at home. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
That's fascinating to me. And it sounds like fun.
Well, we started it here. We tell people, look, it's your wine. You paid for it. You can do whatever you want with it.
Well, you know, all the big wineries, including Robert Mondavi Private Selection, where I did most, which is the brand I represented the most, those Bordeaux style blends of the five Bordeaux grapes are huge. Everybody has one, and that blending trend I knew about. But can you give me an example of what would one blend at home? Let's say you think the Cabernet Sauvignon you have has too much tannin, so maybe you blend that with
drop a
little Merlot, maybe a little Pinot.
Exactly.
What fun.
And you know, it's very interesting because I do it all the time. Dinner parties, I have a big cab that I'm serving, but somebody, you know, one or two people don't like it that big. So, quietly, out of sight, I just add a little something else to it.
I have never, and you know,
mellow it out.
That by many would be considered an act of heresy, depending on which
not anymore
wine you're doing. I love that. That's what fun, you know. But you have to. I think you might need to give people a sort of a jumping off point, where you give them specific brand and a specific varietal, and say, try 2/3 of, you know, Gallo this with, you know, Hess that with, you know, with this Merlot and that. Do you ever blend reds and whites together?
You can.
I guess you could.
You can. It's not commonly done. And I really don't venture into that area too much. But
first we mentioned foie, now we're going to be arrested for this.
Oh, well, no. You know what? It's become legal in this.
It's become legal?
Almost every place in America
it's
now.
It's been decriminalized.
I think you can't do it in Utah.
there's a lot you can't do in Utah.
But when you think about it, there are an infinite number of possibilities when it comes to blending taste with wine, except we typically leave that up to the winemaker to do that. And a lot of times they just don't get it right, if you ask me, because, you know, you want it to be perfect and fine-tuned for your taste.
Well, they may not get it right for you, certainly. And I've always heard that in the United States that we talk dry, but we drink sweet.
Yes.
And how often is it that you get a wine that's just too mouth-puckeringly tart for you? You could, but there are other characteristics of the wine that you do like. I guess you could mellow that out with some. Why not? I've never done it myself, ever.
Well, if you
and I'm going
to
try it.
If you think about it, I'd love to show you, by the way.
Yeah, I'd love that.
I wish we had a little time here today to do that.
What if you took, let's say you had a champagne or a California sparkler that you kind of liked, but you wanted to like make it pink? Put a little bit of Pinot Noir into it.
You can do that. Now, let me tell you what I've been pushing lately is I've been adding to sparklers and Sauvignon Blancs a little limoncello.
That's a great idea. I mean,
it's crazy good. It puts a mimosa to shame.
Well, here we cross a line from blending wine into making wine cocktails, and there are so many wonderful ones. My favorite probably being the French 75, you know, the champagne cocktail.
You're liking this.
This sounds like a theme for a whole party. You know?
It is, and I think people have become so afraid of messing with their wine, of doing anything with it, and yet it occurred to me probably, it must have been 4 years ago that it occurred to me, you know what, the winemakers do it, and why not take advantage of, you know, that same idea and make the wine, for instance, perfect for your meal.
Yes, exactly.
Because a lot of times the wine has to drive the meal. I mean, this is just my opinion, and maybe you disagree, but a lot of times the wine may, you got a great wine, and you want to pair the food to it, so you've got to really consider what that food's going to be. But why not adjust the wine a little bit so the food is just right as well?
Absolutely. And I think that speaks to one of the things that's so interesting about working in the field of food and wine is that anything could be the jumping off point for your meal. It could be, you could be inspired by a flower. You could be inspired by the season. You could be inspired by, I really want to smoke something in my smoker for 8 hours. I don't care what it is.
You were scaring me. You said, I really want to smoke something. Yeah. Then everything tastes good, right?
But you know, but I do like to actually, it's funny. It's kind of ironic when you consider the job that I have, which requires people to cook very quickly with ingredients that don't necessarily go together. I don't like to cook. I'm very much a slow food person. And
really?
I really love to roast and braise and smoke. But the inspiration, back to the to what you were saying, I mean, the inspiration can come from anything. And often it can be you have a special wine and you and some special guests coming over and you orient all of the whole evening around that, everything you serve.
Okay, so see, now on an episode of Chopped, wouldn't it be wonderful to see not only the chefs blending the food in perfect combinations, but the wine to go with it?
You know what? You've just given me the idea for what if we did a Chopped slow food movement. So instead of 20 minutes, they had like six hours.
Exactly. Have to do everything in slow motion.
Sounds super boring, doesn't it?
Yeah. Let's talk about food shows in general.
Sure.
Do people watch more food shows than spend time cooking in the
absolutely.
Kitchen? They absolutely do.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that has made some people who were original Food Network fans less amenable to what we're doing now is that Food Network recognized that. Our network was originally designed for people who wanted to learn how to cook. Instructional cooking shows, stand and stir, as we call them in the trade, where a famous chef will show, Emeril or Bobby or whoever, would show you, you know, a three-course meal and show you how to cook that meal in half an hour. Food Network, like many other cable networks, figured out in the past few years that there's a much vaster audience that is interested in food but isn't really watching because they want to learn how to cook it, per se. So it's, and you see this even on network
it's
television.
It's just entertainment.
It is entertainment. And you know what? There, I can understand people who might be critical of that because they still want to learn how to cook. And listen, we also have Cooking Channel, and we still have several other instructional cooking shows on the network. But I believe that shows like Iron Chef and Chopped still encourage and propel people into the kitchen and teach them about food. And I learned so much from our chefs.
And get the food on the table quick.
get the food on the table quickly, absolutely.
And we're talking with Ted Allen, who is associated with what has to be one of the hot... Well, no, let's try that again. We're talking with Ted Allen, who is associated with what has to be the hottest show in food, Chopped. I love that show. And I love the idea of... you know, just having those secret ingredients that you all of a sudden have to harmonize together. Where did that idea come from?
It came from my friend Linda Lee, who created the show, had an idea originally for a show that was much more convoluted than what you see now. Chopped was set in a mansion in New Jersey. The chefs arrived in limousines at the beginning of the show. This pilot was actually made. I was not in it. The host of the show was dressed in a tuxedo. He was the butler of the house. He was holding a chihuahua.
Okay.
I'm not making this up. And each time a chef was chopped, his dish was fed to the dog. I'm not kidding. Now, that pilot got made.
And if the dog didn't eat it?
Well, I don't know what. I mean, they only
then
made
you
one.
Shoot the chef.
There's so many problems with this, I can't even begin to start. But one of them was, well, Food Network took one look at that pilot and said, okay, this is a bit weird for us. And to say nothing of the fact that you should not feed people food to dogs. You would have had PETA all over us. But the network saw something in this idea that they liked. And they just stripped it down, made it pure and simple. What I'm proudest of with Chopped in comparison to all of the other competition shows is that I just think our show is the most simple and pure and straightforward. Can you cook this stuff in this time frame or not? It's that simple. There's a little bit of biography. Yes, our producers do delve into the chef's personal stories, and that is a part of the mix. But for the most part, can you cook or not? It's really kind of like there was a show on the original Food Network called Ready, Set, Cook. Can you cook it or not? If not, you're chopped.
What about taking the show just into some random person's house, have a starting line, and have the chefs race for that person's refrigerator, pantry, etc., and choose the ingredients that way?
I remember we did challenges like that on Top Chef. When I was judging Top Chef, I remember we did a challenge, that exact challenge, in Chicago, which was my hometown, my adopted hometown. We were in the Ravenswood neighborhood in Chicago, and the chefs had to go into people's homes and raid their refrigerators.
And
that's what they had to work
now
with.
Now that's reality, baby.
That was reality. See, now I don't think of our show as a reality show. I think of Chopped as a game show. But Top Chef has more of a reality component to it, where people drink beer and get in the hot tub and we see who makes out. And that's really fun. I love the show. I wish I could do both.
Well, I'm looking forward to the wine competition show that we talked about.
You know, when are we going to find a wine show that people will watch on television? It's something that I think we need, and I love what you're doing with your broadcasting. I think what we need to do with wine is to continue to demystify it. I think this industry has spent centuries making its product undecipherable to ordinary people.
Well, I think we're like us. I think we're definitely getting there.
I think we are getting there.
All right. Well, anytime you want to help unshroud the mystery, you just let me know.
I would love that.
Ted Allen, it's a pleasure to have you on. I really appreciate it. Keep doing the great work that you're doing. I'm a huge fan.
Right back at you.
Have been for many years.
Well, thank you very much. It's great to be with you.
We'll be back with more Grape Encounters Radio after this.
Grapes are one of the few things that are better off dead than alive. Well, actually, there are a few people that are better. But anyway, more Grape Encounters Radio coming your way.
You know, for most people, wine is more than just a beverage. It's a lifestyle, motivating enthusiasts to decorate in wine themes, collect the latest gadgets, and coordinate the table setting with wine glasses and accessories that celebrate the season or occasion. It's no wonder that EpicStyle.com is the hottest spot on the internet to shop for wine lifestyle products. Nothing compares to EpicStyle.com's selection of clever, functional, fun, and beautiful products for wine lovers. EpicStyle.com.
This is the time of year when wine lovers start planning their pilgrimage to California's wine regions. The perfect inspiration and companion is the California Directory of Fine Wineries. Featured are profiles of dozens of Central Coast and Northern California wineries, along with hundreds of color images by renowned photographer Robert Holmes. Plus, highlights of tours, tastings, maps, and events. These beautiful directories make a fantastic gift. Be sure to like the California Directory of Fine Wineries Facebook fan page for wine country news and events each week. Click on the link at GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
From time to time, you hear stories about everyday average people who, while cleaning the garage, come upon a painting that nobody liked. And what do you know? It turns out to be a Picasso. I wonder what it would be like to stumble upon a bottle of wine tucked away in a dark corner of your grandparents' pantry that was given to their parents as a wedding present. Rare wines can be very valuable indeed, and every bottle has an amazing story behind it. If you'd like to get up close and personal with some of the rarest wines on the planet, or better yet, if you'd like to take a stab at buying a bottle or two to treasure or even savor on some extraordinary special occasion, then you need to make your way to the St. Mark's 3rd Annual Cellar Classic, an auction of rare and fine wines on Saturday, July 28th in Los Olivos, California. You absolutely have to be there. July 28th in Los Olivos, California. For more information, click on the link at grapeencounters.com. I'll tell you what, the last couple of weeks, I have been to nothing but wine-related events, festivals, wine tastings, etc. Big events, but the one thing that is common to all of these events is they are all decked out for Halloween. Halloween is, what, a few weeks away, but people get into the Halloween spirit almost as early as they get into the holiday spirit. And you know what? Even wine drinkers are getting in on the action. And one of the people that makes that possible is Matt Dubose, our gadget guru from EpicStyle.com. Matt, are you a Halloween lover?
Of course. How can you not like Halloween?
You know what? Halloween is a great holiday, isn't it? When you think about it, you know, for kids, you just run around and people give you candy. Wouldn't it be great if they had Halloween for wine lovers and you went door to door and they gave you bottles of wine?
Oh, that'd be awesome.
You know, they could just, you know what they do, though? At first, people would give away whole bottles. And then you'd start getting those little bottles that they use on airlines.
Those sippy cup ones.
Wouldn't that be a great, you know, that would be a great Halloween. You know, we've got some friends in Orange County, California, that do this thing called Yard Wine. And the whole neighborhood, I don't know if you've seen that book, Yard Wine.
No.
Anyway, well, so this whole neighborhood is into this yard wine phenomenon, and they get together about once a month, and everybody in the neighborhood comes over, and they just sit around and drink wine at a designated person's house. So the whole neighborhood is made up of winos.
Oh, wow.
So they could do trick-or-treating in a very cool way over there. I tell you that.
That sounds fun.
That's a, you know, you moved recently. You could have moved to that neighborhood, and you'd have fit right in, dude.
That would have been a good time.
Man, but I love Halloween. It's like, you know, it is a little commercialized. You walk into the drugstores or whatever, and they got a million different plastic things that you can buy. But you got fun Halloween stuff.
We do.
Yeah, and I was actually, I'm going to use this term, and I'm going to get ribbed for this.
Okay.
But I was grooving on your stuff.
Grooving?
Yes.
Do people still say that?
Well, one of us just did. Okay. You got the pumpkin patch bottle stopper.
Yes.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad. Three pumpkins on it, carved pumpkins. And I like that. The ones I really like are like you have this graveyard bottle stopper. And I got some bottles of wine that would be really appropriate for.
I'm sure you do.
What does it say? It says, here lies wine.
Yes.
Yeah, but not for long, it should say after that. Oh,
and then
my.
I get ripped.
I get ripped. It does say that.
It does.
R.I.P. and then E.D. on the next line. You're a funny guy, man.
And these are all in full color, too.
I know, they're beautiful.
They're really
They're beautiful.
Nice.
Look at, seriously, just you can go to, if you want to follow along at home, you can just go to epicstyle.com and you'll find them there. They're right on the front page because there's a link from the front page to the spooky Halloween gallery.
Right. Or you can just look up Halloween in a search engine.
That's it? That'll do it?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about some. You've got the haunted house bottle stopper.
Yes.
Very nice. Very nice indeed. And then, I guess I'm going to say this is my favorite. It's the skull pewter bottle stopper.
Right. The detail on that is just amazing. And a lot of people collect stoppers.
I know. You can't stop them.
Ah!
They're unstoppable. Oh, stop it, Matt. You're killing me.
You're killing me.
Let's put a stop for this, really.
Okay.
Put a cork in it. To be fair, an awful lot of the work that you guys create is just gorgeous.
We have some amazing artists. They do just incredible work. I wish I had that talent.
Well, maybe you do. Have you ever even tried?
Yeah, it's horrible. I can barely do a stick figure.
Well, that's what you should do, the Matt Dubow stick figure collection.
Coming soon.
All right, let's talk about some of the other Halloween stuff that you've got. You've got your, I like this, pick your poison glass stickums.
Right, and those are skull and crossbones in different colors, pinks and oranges and blues. And what they are, you kind of peel them off the backing and you stick them on your wine glass, or you know what glass is yours. It's kind of like a wine charm, but it's called a stick'em.
Well, yes, except they're all skull and crossbones, so you have to know which one's yours. They're different colors.
But they're different colors.
So I got the red skull and crossbones.
Right.
Again, skull and crossbones would be appropriate for some wines that I have tasted lately.
That good, huh?
I'm just saying, Matt. You know what? They're making a lot of wine. They're making a lot of great wine out there, Matt. They're making a lot of bad wine, too.
You think so?
Yeah.
You think too many people are making wine these days?
I think everybody wants to be a winemaker. In fact, I've got some friends who have no business being in the winemaking business, but they just want their name on a label. It's the thing.
Did you tell them the wine's no good?
Would you?
Well, I know I wouldn't, but I'm asking you.
Well.
You did, didn't you?
No, I didn't. I didn't. And I should. But seriously, it's none of my business. Just don't, you know, I will just tell them that don't ask me to buy it.
I was wondering why you gave me that case.
Did you notice they were all open? But you wouldn't notice they were open if you had a pick your poison jute bottle bag.
You would not.
You get this whole pick your poison collection, which is pretty cool.
We do, which is all skull and crossbone. and you have the jute wine gift bag, and you also have the pick your poison glass slipper, which is nice. Your wine glass just fits in kind of the mouth of the skull.
Are you serious? It's a pick your poison glass slipper?
Right.
I like that.
Yeah, it's really, really neat.
Okay, I just have one last question.
Yes.
There's the pick your poison fitted tank top shirt.
I knew you were going to go there.
Well, you know why I went there, right?
Yes.
Does she come with it?
You have to use your imagination.
Oh, too funny, Matt. Anyway, suffice to say, great Halloween collection.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Yeah, no, seriously, it's not just a good collection. It's a great collection. A lot of fun. I love, you know, because that whole pick your poison thing fits right in.
I think it fits perfectly
it's
for Halloween.
It's a double entendre for sure.
Yes.
Anyway, all right. And that pick your poison fitted tank top comes in double entendre size.
I think you really need to move away from that topic.
Right. Matt, happy Halloween to you early. We'll talk Halloween more in the coming weeks, but now's the time to get your Halloween stuff, gang.
Yes.
Get your order in, although Epic Style will ship something out to you like right away, instantly, right?
We ship very quickly.
Very quickly. So, but don't sit on it. Get on it. That's what I have to say. EpicStyle.com. Hey, Gadget Guru, nice talking to you, man.
Thank you so much.
All right. Take care of yourself. And that's it for Grape Encounters. What a show. Wow. And what an ending. Anyway, we'll be back here next week. Same time, same channel.